Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I'm going to go deep into why real estate investing has been the go-to wealth builder for the last 100 years in the United States of America. I'm going to cover the six reasons why you absolutely should be doing this stuff if you haven't already started. And if you have started, what have you not been thinking about? Have you missed some of it? Have you left some of it on the table? I'm going to be covering that now. Before I get to that, though, I've got some time urgent material I've got to get out here. Y'all know, because we talk about it for weeks now, the expo's coming up. This is the once-a-year largest real estate investor connection expo. We call it the expo, where people get together, and we have everything you can think of there, from educational breakout sessions to networking to live events to bus tours, the whole bit. This is like the 11th or 12th year we've done it now, and every single year, just an amazing thing. There's not a problem about selling out. You'll be able to get in. That's not a problem. What is a problem is some of the events, and I say problem, it's a challenge, is some of the events have limited space. And so I want to make sure you know about the limited space events. The first limited space event I think you need to know about is my bus tour. There's only so many buses. We can only take so many people out to our apartment complexes and show them what we do. But when we do it, we take you out there and we show you everything from what it looked like when we first bought it and let you see some down units and some smelly, dirty stuff. And then we show you what the upgrades look like and what we've done to it and what that's made the difference in how the money was made in real estate. I mean, why is it we buy this apartment complex for $10 million and it's worth $20 million in a year or two? That's an important thing. We want to show you what it is that makes that difference. There are eight buses, and I'm on two of them. So what I'm going to tell you right now is that you'll be able to get a bus, I'm pretty sure. But you won't be able to get on the ones I'm on, probably. Now, it does usually sell out. The buses usually sell out completely, but this is, you know, coming up here. The event is coming up. It's March 12th, 13th, and 14th. So you've got some time yet. But to get on my bus, you need to get signed up now. So what you need to do is text the word bus to 88007. That's the word bus to 88007 and get yourself a seat. You will not regret it. If you've ever wanted to know about real estate investing, this is the place to go. Now, secondly, if you're a real estate syndicator and you want to be able to syndicate, raise capital at syndication in one of our group events, that meeting, which we call the Multifamily Investor Mixer, is set up for this expo like it has been for everyone. This is where we have about 250 tables of investors and thousands of passive investors that get to go in and meet these people. And you just, you know, speed date these people and get on all these different mailing lists and different deals and stuff that are out there. So like 250 different people, it's quite a different set of options for you. You don't want to miss this. You need to text the word bus to 88007, bus to 88007. And also, to be able to go to this and get a table and be one of the syndicators, you've got to register. Deadline for that is February 16th. So you want to get to that, right? Again, if you want to, get in there and get that done, go to our website or just text the word radio to 88007, takes you to our 60% discount on our membership. So if you're thinking about coming, this is an interesting point. If you're thinking about coming to the expo, instead of paying for an expo pass, you could just buy a membership. And with that pass, that's a husband and wife and kids up to 18 years old membership. That will get you a free pass to the expo. So you might want to do that. But those are the things that are current. Everybody else get signed up for the expo because it's going to be a big deal. All right, now back to where we're at. Let's talk about why has real estate investing been the core wealth-building mechanism for the last 100 years? And let's think about this. If you had tons of money and you were one of these people that, you know, had $1 million in the stock market, Real estate investing could be good for you. It could be very good for you, but it may not be where you start because you started by putting money in the stock market. But the average person out there doesn't have $1 million to start with. And really, if you don't come from generational wealth, and that's what I saw when I was growing up. You know, the people that had a lot of money had generational wealth. My kids will have generational wealth. It's really not even fair in our society, but it's the way it is. So if the kids start with generational wealth and their parents help them start businesses and help them invest, then they get a head start. Luckily, at Lifestyles, our kids are getting to learn how to do real estate, and they're getting a head start that way also. But if you think about it, what does it take to move from the lower class to the middle class, to the upper class, and I'm talking about that as far as financial position, to be able to move financially through that band of wealth takes growth, but not little bits of growth. Very large amounts of growth is what it takes. So let's talk about the six ways that real estate investing can change your life financially. The number one, most important one, I think that is the reason people started with real estate from the beginning of time, and I talk about this from the point of view of poor people, very poorest of all people, is that you can do real estate with really no money. In other words, what happens is that if you go to the stock market, go to your stockbroker, go, I want to buy some stock. Okay, how much money do you have? Go, I don't have any. Well, they'll just tell you, go away. Just go away. Now, what a real estate investor can do is a real estate investor can go out there and find a deal where the seller is in distress. And by being in distress, they want to get out of their deal. For the first probably 5 years that I started doing real estate, I was just watching, or before I started doing real estate, I watched these infomercials. And I'd listen to these things, and they had about Dave Delgado, Robert Allen, Jeff McCone, Tommy Vu, the Milans, Ron LeGrand. There's all these guys that had these infomercials. And what they were always talking about was getting into real estate something for nothing. And one of the concepts is, whether you believe it or not, there are a lot of people that are really bad with their finances in life. And by being bad, they get themselves upside down on a house. When that happens, it is possible. Now, I don't do this. This is not my brand of real estate. But it is possible to go in there and get them to give you their house. Hey, you're behind on a few payments, whatever. Just deed the thing over to me and you're out of it. They're not going to come after you now. Now it's my deal, my problem. I'll solve it. And, you know, some of the stuff that they would do is say, okay, just deed it over to me. I'll take over your payments and maybe give you some money, $500, $1,000, whatever. Maybe nothing. Maybe you're so far behind on your payments that they're about to foreclose on it anyway. You're going to lose it. Just sign it over to me. It's going to be gone. You're already looking at foreclosure. Then what I would do is I would go over here as a real estate investor, and I'm just telling you what some of their theories were, is that I would go over here then and either put my own money in and save the deal, and now I bought it for next to nothing, just a couple payments, or I'd put a tenant in it. When I put the tenant in it, the tenant would give me the first month's rent and a security deposit, and that might be enough to go ahead and pay the payments on it. Maybe I sold it to somebody else, and they gave me a down payment. With the down payment they gave me to sell it to them, I paid off the back debt for it, and you know, they went on down the road better off. I went on down the road with some money in my pocket. In all these scenarios, real estate allowed people to get out and play entrepreneur, to get out and try to buy low and sell high and to negotiate and manipulate money in ways that you just can't do that in the real world because you don't have any money. Now, big time players, guys like Donald Trump, do this every day. That's why he's so good at it. And all the business people out there make these kinds of moves. Now, the next step is really the most powerful reason, I believe. And that is something called equity capture. Now, beginners don't really understand this. This is one of the things that you want to come to our class to understand even better, is how do you capture equity? It's hard for people to believe this concept. But people actually are willing to take a loss on a piece of real estate. So when doing so, somebody else is making a gain. Remember, zero-sum game concept is I win, you lose, or you lose, and I win. And the bottom line is making sure I'm always the one that wins. But the way to do that is be the person creating the transaction. So even more importantly than that is finding somebody that is in severe situation. You say, well, I don't think that sounds nice to look for people in bad situations. People put themselves in bad situations. You got to keep that in mind. It's not your fault that they created massive problem for themselves. Problems can be avoided with massive, 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 massive thought process. In other words, if you know all the stuff that I know, then you know how to be conservative in all the ways I know how to be conservative. I know how to think past and forward and future for all the potential problems that could come up. And so we don't have the problems. If you don't know all the things that are out there, then you have the potential for the problems. So what I'm saying is there are people out there that know nothing about what they're doing. Or, by the way, there are just some people out there that are a couple cans short of a six-pack, quite honestly. And so they go buy themselves a house and they don't make the payments, or they inherit a house from somebody they can't make the payments on, whatever. But what's worse is that they can run these houses down. So we can come in and find a house, and I'm just going to give you some numbers. I'm going to make up some numbers so you can understand what I'm saying. We can go in and buy a house that's worth $200,000, but they can't sell it. They can't sell it because it is in death's repair. And we can buy it for $100,000. We can put $50,000 into it, and we now own it all in for $150,000. So that house is worth $200,000 now. Now, that's just an extreme example of what we do, but it's in all kinds of variables. In other words, we can pick up $5,000, we can pick up $10,000, we could $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 per house by doing this. And so let's say that we get into this deal and we're in for about $10,000 out of pocket, and we pick up $20,000 in captured equity. Well, that's a 200% gain instantly. Now, I want you to go to your stockbroker and say, look, I don't care what stock you sell me, but I want to buy a stock today for 50% less than what it's worth today. In other words, I want to buy $200 worth of Microsoft stock for $100, or any other company you can do that for. And they'll tell you, you're crazy. Get out of here. You can't. It's worth $200,000. You're going to get $200,000 for it. The reason is because there's such an open market. And the more you move towards open markets, the less possible it is to get great deals, right? That's the secret to the whole deal. Now, if you're Warren Buffett and you can pre-think out where the market's going for the whole rest of your life, then, hey, you can just buy and hold for long periods of time and stuff will go up. But if you're not Warren Buffett, then you've got to go out there and figure out how to make some money. Then going out and finding distressed situations and buying a distressed situation and fixing it is a way to make a lot of money. This equity capture thing can be unbelievable. I've seen people, and I'm just going to give an example. I'm just making up something right now, by the way. Just give an example. I'll bring somebody in. They go, okay, I've got $100,000. Okay, let's see what we can do with that. I want to retire. We can't retire on $100,000, right? No, not possible. All right, let's take $10,000 and buy you 10 houses. On each of those 10 houses, let's make sure you make at least, you know, $30,000 equity capture in each one. Some might be 20, some might be 50. You know, it's all over the place. But let's average $30,000. So you go out and buy 10 houses this year. You make $30,000 on each house. That's $300,000 you made on $100,000. You now have $400,000 worth of net worth. Like that. Boom. Now, you can go back and do that again. And in another year or two, you're worth $700,000. It's amazing what you can do, right? Or you might parlay that into an apartment and take the now $400,000 and turn that into $1,000,000. These are the kinds of gains that we see when we do it right. And I've been doing this for 35 years. And I'll tell you that there are people that go out there and don't know what they're doing and they fail. There are people that go out there, actually, even after I tell them what to do, and they won't do what I tell them. They do it their own way, and they fail. People can fail at this stuff. And it's because people fail at this stuff that the opportunities are so large for us, because we can capture this captured equity. This is really the trick behind getting rich very quickly in real estate investing. What is quickly? Well, how about working for the next 50 years of your life from 20 to 70? That's not quickly, right? How about working 10 more years? That's pretty quick compared to 40 years, right? So if you can do it in 10 years, that's pretty quick. If you could do it in half that, five, wow, that's really quick. It took me 2.5 years to come up with enough income to be able to replace my earned income with passive income, but I didn't make very much money. So it wasn't that hard to replace it. I was only making about $70,000 a year. My take home is about $3,500 a month, and all I had to do was replace $3,500 a month. Not a big deal, right? So I was retired at 34 years of age. Not a big deal. But every year after that, I was able to use all these techniques to buy more real estate and build my wealth and buy more real estate and build my wealth. The only difference between myself and any of you out there right now that are not in a very good financial situation is that I just kept doing it. Most people go out and buy one or two houses and go, wow, that was really cool. And then they quit. Don't know why, but they do. So you have to look at this thing and think, wow, if I can do that, and you can if you do it right, then how much wealth could I build up? How fast? And the answer is as fast as you want to move. And then you come into the next thing, leverage. I don't have enough money to move that fast. Well, the beautiful thing about real estate is leverage. You can use OPM, other people's money. Now, there's many different ways you can use leverage in real estate. Many, many different ways you can use leverage. For example, and I'm not advocating any of these without you coming to my classes and learning how and when these should be used. But when we come back, we'll talk about different leverage techniques, because there's lots of them. Many, many, many. Take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
New to real estate investing? At Lifestyles Unlimited, you'll learn how to get started with step-by-step education and real-world strategy. Text radio to 88007. That's RADIO to 88007. Presented by Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. And if you're just tuning in, we're going to come back to what we've been talking about, which is the core reasons why real estate investing has been the most gone-to wealth-building mechanism for the last 100 years in the United States. And we're on to like the third reason, which was leverage. But before we get to it, I'm going to remind you, the bus tours for the Expo are coming up. The Expo is coming up the 12th, 13th, and 14th of March in San Antonio. You're not going to want to miss out on this. But the reason I'm interrupting this is because the bus tours will fill up, and the ones with me are going to fill up first. So if you want to get a seat in the bus, you don't want to miss out. You need to text the word bus to 88007, bus to 88007. And also, if you're going to want to get a table so you can network as a lead investor or as syndicator, you're going to need to get on that by February 16th. So you want to get that in. Now, back to leverage. Let's talk about this. One of the six reasons that real estate has been dominant for 100 years is the fact that leverage is so easily obtained in real estate. You know, like if you go and you buy stocks, I think they'll leverage you maybe 50%. You can get, it's called buying on margin or something like that. So if you put up 50% of the money, they'll give you 50%. But real estate's an amazing thing. They will actually lend you, mortgage-wise, 90% of whatever it is you're going to buy if the deal makes sense. That's just a crazy, crazy thing, right? And in some cases, it's 80%. In some cases, it's only 70%. But the fact that they will mortgage you, they will lend you the money to go into business up to anywhere from 70 to 90% is just an amazing thing, because they won't let you go buy stocks like that. All right, the second way that you can leverage is you can leverage on top of that. After you get a mortgage of 70 to 90%, you can borrow the rest of the money. And I know they tell you you can't do this because in the old days it was very, very easy to do. Now they would like to know that you've got at least that amount of money as equity somewhere. But if you can prove you have some access to that equity, you can really go get it anywhere. And what do I mean by that? Well, I'll give you a couple examples. One, you can have someone lend you the money. If your parents are willing to lend you the money and say it's a gift, they'll give you a gift letter. Say, hey, I'm giving this money to you. It's not lending it to you. And they'll give you a gift letter saying they gave it to you. Then you can use that as the down payment money. You can go, and I did in the past. I have borrowed money on my credit cards to put down payments on houses when I first started, believe it or not. Now, that's much harder to do right now because it really messes with your debt-to-income ratio. And plus, they're looking for, you know, recent equity draws down on your credit card and stuff like that. But it's been done. You can borrow from other people, and that's really the easiest when you get down to that, is borrowing from other people. You can borrow from your 401k. I mean, think about this for a second. You can borrow from your own 401k, and if you borrow the money from yourself, it's your 401k, it's yourself. You're paying yourself back 5% interest on the payments, but you go borrow the money for 5%. You go out here and you make, like I said, 100% return on an equity capture deal. You know, you borrow 30 out of your 401k, and you make 30. So you instantly made 100% return on your money, and then you pay your 401k back 5% that year? I mean, come on, guys. That's a pretty sweet deal. So there's – and because it's you, you're paying yourself back, dude. Just keep that in mind, right? Whatever. You can borrow this money. Now, what I found was the most creative thing was is that other people would give me the money. And so I would go out and buy houses, and after I ran out of money myself and I leveraged up all the different things I could use with my credit card and stuff, got a loan. You can get loans against your paid-in-full cars. And you say, well, Dell, this is crazy. This is that crazy leverage you hear about that everybody says is bad, it's dangerous. Yeah, it is. If you don't know what you're doing, you absolutely, it is crazy and dangerous, right? But if you know what you're doing, then leverage is a tool, and you can use it. So you can go out there, and after I got to the point where I figured this game out and I was doing it pretty easily for myself, other people go, boy, you're making a lot of money. Can I get in with you? I said, okay. So people would put up the money and I would take and do the work. In that return, in that case, what happened was we'd split the profits 50-50. In many syndicational situations, people will actually take only 25% of the profit and give 75% of the profit back to the people putting the money up. Now, that's typically the way it works at Lifestyles. They take 5 to 20% and the people putting up the money earn 95 to 80%. So, you know, you see those splits. But the bottom line is, if you're letting other people get into your deals, there's almost no limitation. I bought 10 units, 5 duplexes with one guy. Then I bought 11 units with another guy. It was a doctor. Then I bought 3 fourplexes with another lady. And then I went back and bought 15 more duplexes with the guy I bought 10 units with. And then after that, I went out and bought 45 townhouses with another group of about 10 people. We each put up some money and we bought these 45 townhouses we could buy together. On and on and on and on and on. And it was really simple just to raise capital because people go, well, I'd like to get into that stuff. I don't really want to do all the stuff. I don't want to, you know, screen the tenants and collect the rents and so on and so forth. So I was willing to do it. And so I was able to just keep growing my business because other people wanted to put their money into my business. Now, that is something that's really hard to do. I mean, you think about, you start a restaurant. How many people are going to be willing to give you money, funding for a restaurant? Maybe your closest family and closest friends might do it, right? But over a period of time, man, I'm telling you, that was the way to go. So this leverage stuff is everywhere, and there's lots of other forms of leverage. Now, I'm going to tell you something I did one time. This is a true story. I know it's hard to believe, but I bought an apartment complex, a 64-unit apartment complex, and I paid like $1 million for it, put $200,000 down, and something like that. I put $150,000 down on it. Then another apartment complex across the street came up, and it was like twice as nice as the one I had. But the guy had renovated it, over-renovated it, and he had put debt on there that he couldn't get off. He couldn't sell it. He wanted to get out of the deal. He couldn't get out of the deal. He didn't know how to operate it. He was a builder. He had done a $1 million renovation to the place. He couldn't figure out how to get out of it. And it was worth probably about, I'd say, $1.5 million, maybe million, $2 million, something like that. If he had operated correctly, it would have been worth $2 million. But he couldn't figure out how to get out of it. So finally one day, after years of talking to this guy and him losing his shirt on operating this thing, brand new property. I mean, he had replaced everything from the studs out. It was beautiful. Mine across the street was really old and run down. His was beautiful. I said, look, I'll buy it from you. So I bought it from him. And here's how I did it. I assumed his loan, which was, I don't know, $1 million, something like that. And then I put $327,000 down on 27 credit cards. You go, Dell, that can't be done, first of all. I did it. I used the money from the credit cards as the down payment. I assumed the property. Now, what you have to understand is, number one, I could have gone and gotten the $300,000 somewhere else. I had access to it in many different parts of my real estate portfolio. I could have come up with the $300,000 if I had to. I wanted to do it just to prove that leverage could work. So I did this $327,000 on 27 credit cards. I went to the bank, but the bank president, I said, look, I want you to watch me do this. I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to do something illegal here. I'm going to show you what I'm doing. I'm proving for my real estate seminar people, you know, the people that have come to my students, that you can actually borrow $327,000 on credit cards. And so he says, how are you going to pay those payments? I said, it's very simple. And I showed him how I had taken a spreadsheet and figured out what the payments were going to be. And back then, they had all kinds of payment things like free for 6 months, no payments for 6 months, 1% interest for, you know, a year. They had all weird kinds of things. And I found all these credit cards. I had 50 credit cards at the time. And it took a while to build that up. And I'm not recommending you do all this stuff, but I just want to tell you, this is the stuff you don't see, and why this is the reason people get into real estate is because there's just so much massive leverage in this stuff. And so I bought this thing, and then I had my manager from across the street go over there and double the rents. I mean, they raised the rents $100 a unit is what they did. And all of a sudden, the property was no longer worth, you know, $1 million. It was worth $2 million, and I only owed, you know, I owed the mortgage of $700,000 plus the mortgage of $300,000 was debt on the credit cards. So I had about $1 million worth of debt on the property and was worth $2 million. So we just simply refinanced it and pulled the money out and paid off the debt and paid off the credit cards. Now, the other guy that owned it couldn't figure that out. Couldn't figure out how to do it because he didn't know how to make it worth $2 million. That was the problem. He didn't know how to operate the property correctly. The next one I'm going to go to is cash flow. I've always said it's the cash flow, stupid. What makes this stuff all work? What makes it work is the fact that you've got cash flow. 401k doesn't pay you any cash flow. A paid in full home doesn't pay you any cash flow. An IRA doesn't pay you any cash flow. Stocks, in most cases, don't pay you any cash flow unless you have dividend type paying stocks. But in general, think about real estate that is so powerful for so many, is it creates additional income. And what do? The one limitation we have in life is how much income we can make. Hey, we can only cut our expenses back so far, right? You're going to have to have some food. You're going to have some shelter. You're going to have some transportation. You can only cut that back so far. So the only way to really get ahead and save more is to make more. And that's the beauty of this stuff. You can put money in your 401k for the next 30 years and not make a dime off of it. But no, you've got something on a number on a piece of paper somewhere. But every single month to have a check come to you in the mail, I remember the first time it happened to me. I was working in a health club. I was selling about $100,000 worth of memberships a month. I'd turn all that money into the company and I'd get back a check for $3,500. And I go, this just doesn't make any sense. Why am I not making that $100,000 worth of sales for me? And I just couldn't understand. And then when I bought that first rent house, and the check came in the mail, and I had to pay a mortgage payment, but that rent check was mine. There it was. It was all mine. Whew. That blew my mind. And I had four rent houses within the first 30 days of doing this stuff. The first 60 days of doing this stuff. I bought one. 30 days later, it was complete. Then I said, I'm going to buy three more. And within 30 more days, I had four within 60 days. And I thought, man, I was bringing in $880 a month. My whole employment check was only $3,500 a month. That was the take-home part of it. And I was bringing in $880 a month. I go, man, this is incredible. So if I get up to $100,000 a month, it's my money. And sure enough, it is your money even when you get up to $100,000 a month. It's a beautiful thing. So cash flow is an incredibly important part of all this because you can't really retire unless you have cash flow. Because you can't just live off equity and you can't live off a 401k. You've got to have some money coming to you. And unless that 401k can produce income, which in most cases it can't, it might increase in equity, but it can't produce income, then you're going to run out of money at some point. Your goal is going to be to die before you run out of money, right? The next thing is principal reduction. talk about a forced savings account. Now, that's one of the beautiful things about the 401k is they take the money out before you see it. Well, that's what happens with the mortgage payment. The mortgage payment is paying down principal, and your tenant is paying the mortgage payment. So unlike the 401k, where you're paying it into the 401k, of course, your boss may match part of that, but you're paying most of it in. Now, in this rental deal, your tenant is paying your mortgage. And as you pay your mortgage down, what you don't realize is that part of that payment is principal. It's lowering the amount you owe, which is increasing the amount of equity that you have. And boy, when you get a couple of these things going for you, and you don't realize it, they are working together in tandem, especially when they're apartment complexes, because the apartment complex pay down each month is a great amount of money. You got quite a few of those things working for you, man. You're building up equity like you wouldn't believe. So equity buildup is another great one. Here's another one. Just like the 401k goes up in value, houses go up in value. Now, they always talk about gold being the great inflationary production, right? It's a great protection from inflation. All right, but it doesn't have any cash flow. But real estate, it just keeps going up too. And if you don't believe me, the number one thing you hear in the news now is people can't afford housing. Why can't they afford housing? Their income hasn't gone down. Their income is going up, but not as fast as housing, right? Housing has gone up and up and up and up. Why? There's not enough of it. It's limited. And they can't build it fast enough because the government won't take the leashes off of house builders. I mean, it's said that there's $185,000 worth of governmental costs in every house. So you couldn't build a small house right now. You couldn't afford to. The cost of just maintaining governmental regulation would make it impossible to build anything less than a $300,000 house at this point. So there you go. The value just keeps going up. So you're building appreciation. And by the way, if you don't like the word appreciation, if you like the word inflation, inflation is appreciation. They're the same thing, which is two sides of the same coin. And people are saying, oh my God, we don't want inflation. No, you don't want inflation if your cash, if your value isn't inflating. But if you own assets like I do, inflation means my assets go up in value. So it really doesn't affect me the way it does you. And it doesn't affect anybody else that has any real assets in this world. The next one is tax advantages. My gosh. Can you imagine if they told you there was a way to earn income and not pay income taxes, Social Security, or Medicare on it? Remember, you're paying three taxes right now, maybe four. You're paying Social Security, you're paying Medicare, you're paying income, national, federal income taxes, and in many cases, you're paying state income taxes. You're paying four different taxes. What if I told you that real estate investing done correctly, you would not have to pay those? They would be deferred, and if done totally correctly, eliminated completely by certain types of transactions. Well, that's what we do. We teach you how to do that, how to defer income. So there it is. You make more, you make it faster, you do it with less amount out of your pocket. What more could you ask for? And remember, friends, we're not just doing it for the money. We're doing it for the lifestyle. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.